Welcome to Karate in the Garage. I'm Corey Cope.
It's Freddie Woff.
Kickstart 4-8-2024. We are too deep into April.
4-8-2024. God damn, if you add all that up, it's 36.
It is. Hey, you know what? You know that saying, April showers bring May flowers? Well, we're getting plenty of flowers coming next month based on that saying.
Dude, Jesus Christ, they're already...
The weather around here is fucking wacky, dude.
Yeah. Have you driven out to Lancaster yet? Because I drove there a couple times last week for work. And dude, the poppies are insane already.
Yeah. Because I come up the back way, you know, where the cherry farm is right there.
See.
Yeah. And you could already start to see some of the, even, and it's that, those are just coming in. So yeah. not the whole orchard, but a small portion of it.
The super bloom, dude, is going to be full of people lying in the poppies with selfie sticks.
Give me Wizard of Oz,
because they don't know any better. Don't lay on the poppies, you fucking idiots.
It's bad. It's bad.
Stay on the trails. Stay on the trails.
Yeah, weather's been 30 degree fluctuations every day. We've had rain. We've had almost 80 degrees, and you got some tastiness up there by you.
Yeah, it snowed. Snowed on Friday. Friday, you know, around 6:30. Yeah. Looked outside and was like, what in the fuck is that? Oh, that's snow. And it stuck till like 10 o'clock yesterday morning. Melted off.
A bunch of people were posting video of the hail that was hitting even down below. Down the valley, they were getting hail during the week or one day. I think it was Friday.
Valley.
So bad. Dude, we're going to go right at it, just going hard, because I got a longish story. Dude,
get on your list. Go.
Yeah. Right. So this Tuesday, there are some classics that are Karate in the Garage type movies we talked about before. 1976's King Kong is getting a 4K steelbook from Paramount. Just as I mentioned last week, Paramount has been dropping some really fun titles in steelbook form. They're not exclusive to Walmart. These are just... They love steelbooks now, apparently. They're recognizing that they can get extra 10 bucks out of somebody because they put it in metal. And so here's the thing about it. Some people are complaining, like, oh, it's a cash grab. I'm like, you know what I have to say? A major studio has a resurgence and a re-energized focus point of putting optical discs out again. That's a good thing. Stop complaining about it. If it's coming out, if they're not charging too much for it. They're charging a good price for it. And a major studio, not a boutique, is putting out good titles or fun titles. This is a Kino release, isn't it? Like, not this one in particular, but I think
it feels like something that Shout would have fucking, you know.
Yeah, I can't remember. Like, but it was one of, it's either Shout or Kino that put out that 76 King Kong a while back. But that's the point, is like, usually you have to go there to get a movie like that.
Sure. Somewhere, right? Like, it's not like, you know, Universal or Paramount or Warner's doing it.
Right. There is a resurgence for some. Like, Disney is definitely pushing the optical a little bit on their side too, which we just talked about a blurb recently. And I don't think I put the link in there, but I'll do it. But Bill Hunt from the Digital Bits had a big article explaining it. And he actually broke the news about Disney giving up, not stopping to make movies on disc. They handed over the manufacturing and the production of them to Sony to do all that stuff. And I'll put a link to it because I don't think I did before. But they're not stopping making Disney titles. They're just farming it out to somebody else, is what MGM used to do. And Fox used to put those out. I don't know who does MGM's now. Maybe Warner Brothers? I don't remember. Anyway, so that King Kong one, 98's Lost in Space, back when New Line Cinema was like starting to break out. And that's a Shout Factory release.
King Kong was a Shout Factory release.
So it was. There you go. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Doom Patrols, it's just the third, it's a fourth, the fourth season is hitting Blu-ray. And if you're not somebody that was subscribing to fucking DC Universe and then into Max and watch it, because that Doom Patrol is probably one of the best that Max had to provide and from the DC app before that. It's a wonderful. Knife is getting its optical release finally. Another one of those really weird things, right? With when an RLJ release, you kind of never know what's going to happen. You know, it hits Shutter and then you sit around and wait for it and then eventually hits optical. I mean, I think with Lynch's Mayhem, it was all, they had like a digital release and then it was on Shudder, and then, but I think it hit, I think it was all roughly within a 3 week window where it hit optical disc too. It's, I've never understood that whole dynamic. You know, it's one thing to have a day of when it hits the theater, even if it's a limited run, but it's weird for optical disc to come out 4 months after the movie was already been sitting in digital or was sitting on Shudder.
Give me the knife, please. Which it,
yeah, it's a fun movie. But did you see the cover of this Mean Guns MVP release?
No, right, I have not.
Ice-T and Christopher Lambert. I don't know, just the, it's small, but if you click on it, hold on, I'll just send it to you.
I got it right here.
Doesn't it kind of remind you of the, if you don't enlarge it, it reminds me of the Firefox art, even though it's nothing like it.
Oh, you send it to me, because I'm looking at, the one I'm looking at says the cult movie collection, but this is definitely a European, because it's got the, hold on. 18 down there at the bottom, and it reminds me a lot of kind of a Reservoir Dogs. I don't know what you would call this, that sort of reverse negative vibe on this one. Dude, I wish they would release Mean Guns and good Lord, what is my other fucking, the one I love with Christopher Lambert. I'm drawing a blank. Christopher Lambert and Mario Van Peebles and everybody else from Posse. Gunman. Seems like those are two movies that you'd release from both at the same time. Come on, MVP. Let's get Gunman out there.
I'm trying to find out the old key art that we had when Firefox came out. Just I'm just saying it's reminiscent of it, even though it's really nothing like
Firefox,
it.
The Eastwood movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, no, that's what the one I'm looking at looks like. Yeah, that I know what you're saying.
The one I sent you. Yeah, it's almost like they photoshopped and eyedropped the red that they use.
Oh, yeah,
it's weird.
I'll send you this.
It's nothing to do with. You get that sometimes where they want you to think of another movie, but I'm not sure how Firefox ties in with what this movie looks like. It is. I don't think I've ever seen it though.
Mean Guns? Anyway. No, I saw it. This is like a 2020 fucking rental back in the day. For me, this is like, let's try to watch this motherfucker with some pizza at midnight.
And one other one to mention, and it's not a smaller movie, but Lisa Frankenstein from Zelda Williams, who...
I know Zelda. I took a meeting with her a few years ago. Lovely. Yeah. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, she's really cool. She had her feature film debut with Lisa Frankenstein and came out a short while ago with Catherine Newton and Cole Sprouse, Carla Cugina. That one is, it's on Peacock right now if you wanted to check it out. So another one of those things, again, theatrical, Peacock, and then they're getting to this. I think it hit Peacock last week. I unfortunately missed it in the theater, so I saw it on Peacock, and it's wonderful. And, you know Catherine Newton, she did some time on Supernatural, but more importantly, she was in Freaky. She played the lead in Freaky, who swapped bodies with Vince Vaughn. She's wonderful in it too. But Cole Sprouse, again, the Sprouse twins that we all know from Big Daddy and other stuff. And Cole, of course, was playing Jughead on Riverdale. He does something in this movie it's not really a spoiler, but he really only kind of grunts, but not a lot. He just kind of mostly hums, like, kind of responds, because...
That's what Frankenstein does.
It's not, but you can't, it's not really, but he's not really Frankenstein. You have to see it. It's not so straight ahead, which is...
I was making a joke.
Yeah, no, I know. Because that's what I knew as I was saying it was going to come across that way. No, he performs so much with just his eyes, and it's really well done. It's like that thing we talked about with Bruce Willis, that Roger Ebert said for him in that opening scene that he's got with Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction, where he just says so much with his eyes that you hadn't, you know, he just performs and emotes so much just from the squints. I'm not saying squints, but he performs well. Cole does that a lot in this movie, and I thought he was pretty fucking good in it. He's under a lot of makeup, but again, I don't want to ruin anything for the movie because it's really clever. And you think you hear the name, you think, oh, you know what this is. But I do get a kick out of the art for it. The art reminds me so much of Frankenhooker. It's so funny. I mean, is it intentional? I don't know.
Sure it has to be. But it can't not be.
It's pretty great. I was hoping for. It's a beautifully shot movie too, and I know it wasn't a big budgeted flick, but it works really well. And Carla is so great in it. But then when isn't she, right? And this one, and I should note too, this is also scripted from Diablo Cody, so it shouldn't surprise much people where it kind of fits very much tonally in that. It's much more comedic than dark comedy that Jennifer's Body is, but it's in that vein. It's a good double feature if you want to put them together. But so what you got, man? Because I got a long ass story.
The last thing I'm gonna say about Mean Guns, it's from one of my favorite schlocky directors, Albert Pullion, who passed away last year. Let me think. What have I got? So at Vidiots, I'm just going to say on 420. 420 at Vidiots, they are screening, and I can't believe this, they are screening Blood In, Blood Out, Taylor Hackford's 1993 epic tale of Los Angeles. Follows, two brothers and a cousin and a half brother. If you've seen Blood In, Blood Out, you know all about it, but I cannot believe they're screening it. I mean, I've never in a million years would I have thought, hey, I'm going to be able to see Blood In, Blood Out on a big screen. I saw it when it came out. I saw a test screening of it, weirdly enough, in Fresno, many, many years ago. And I've seen it a bunch on VHS and I bought the terrible DVD that came out about 20 years ago. It's just no frills. It's one of those, I don't think it's Dimension, but there's no bone. There's nothing on it. It's just the movie and, it's static menu. But, this movie came out the same time, right around the same time as American Me. I always preferred this to American Me. I don't know why. Maybe because, they're more memorable. There's so many memorable quotes in it, and also maybe it was because a lot of it took place in the Central Valley. There were mentions of Delano, and I knew the area and I knew things they were talking about. I don't know, but I have a secret crush on this movie and I cannot fucking wait to maybe go see this.
Yeah.
And it's Taylor Hackford, and Taylor Hackford is going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing a Q&A.
Yeah, he's going to be there with the writer.
Yep. Which is pretty fucking sweet.
So it's pretty cool. What I found interesting is the Golden Globe Foundation is sponsoring the screening.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it says digital. That when I saw that little thing on the blurb on the bottom, I thought maybe they were going to bring in a print, but it doesn't sound like it. I think usually when you see it's that kind of association.
I was hoping, since it's digital, I was hoping maybe there's, I got to look and do a little research. Maybe there's going to be at long last, sort of a collector's Blu-ray or something. Anyway, right. I'm very excited for that. I mean, the rest of the video stuff is not too much different than last week, but that I thought worth mentioning just to give people who are here who might want to check it out. Maybe they've never seen it. Maybe they're like me and they're like, holy shit.
Right.
How is this happening? or a mix of both. But, it's on the 20th and you'll get in. Taylor Hackford will be there. And, if you know anything about Taylor Hackford, I mean, you probably by accident love at least two of his movies.
We've mentioned like seven of his movies on the show. Yeah. I feel like it's all been like in the last year or two.
Well, against all odds, Jesus right. Christ.
He made his mark really with Idlemaker came out in 80, but it was Officer and Gentleman in 82 that really cracked it open. Then he followed up with Against All Odds and then White Knights. And that's a hat trick, dude.
Come on, right?
That is crazy. Then took some time off and then he came back with, he did that Chuck Berry, Hey All Rock and Roll, the live concert film. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And then Everybody's All American, which we've mentioned time and time again, Blood In, Blood Out, Dolores Claiborne.
Yes. Probably the Devil's best adaptation of any King's, of any Stephen King.
And Proof of Life.
Yeah.
We out of all the list of his movies, I think that movie all the way up until Ray was the only movie we haven't mentioned that I just blurted out. We've mentioned all the other ones on the show before. And we just mentioned Ray last week during Law Abiding Citizen. So it's funny how that all kind of came together.
But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the guy's had a super long career. Yeah. He's married to Helen. He's been married to Helen Mirren forever. I mean, it, you know, he is a guy, you know, it's funny. Like you think Taylor Hackford, why does that name sound familiar? And then you're like, oh wow. It's because he directed all these kick-ass movies. Yeah. I mean, even post Ray, I'm going to give some love to his 2010 film Love Ranch.
Yes.
With Pesci, which is such a like, kind of under the radar gem. It's a love it or hate it movie, I think, for some people. But for me, I loved it. you know, his reboot of Point Blank with of the Lee Marvin version, mm-hmm. not the Lynch version, obviously. But Parker, it has its moments. You know,
Parker's got its moments. Yeah, I agree.
Parker, it's okay. I mean, it's just, you know, it seems like, you know, maybe his hands were tied. I don't know. I mean, I remember seeing it and thinking, you know, there's some things that, you know, he probably wasn't stoked with, but hey man, you know, you cast Jason Statham in a movie in 2013 and, you know, everybody wants to see The Transporter, or, you know, they want to see him do some karate. Right. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's not bad. It's worth a watch for sure. Solid body of work, man. And dude, you mentioned The Idolmaker. Good Lord, dude. What a fucking movie that is.
Dude, that movie, because it was a big deal when that movie came out. And it was also speaking to the lead in the movie, Ray Sharkey, who was kind of one of those guys that was up and coming that guy really, I won't get into it too much, but Ray Sharkey definitely lived the Hollywood life and embraced it wholeheartedly and to his detriment, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, dude, let's just throw quickly. Also Hackford, also executive producer on Mortal Thoughts, which we just covered.
Yep.
La Bamba, he produced La Bamba. Yeah. And that was in the middle of his hot streak. That was right after White Nights.
Right.
I think Gregory Nava directed it, but, he also produced this great little movie called Queen's Logic, which I think we've talked about before, you know, and it just, you know, the body of work. Oh, he also produced the When We Were Kings documentary, on Muhammad Ali. So, I mean, dude, like if you can get out and you'll get to see this movie and plus you'll get to see some Q&A with, you know, one of the sort of, you know, he's a pretty important filmmaker for, you know, for our generation, I think. You know, his influence on other filmmakers and just sort of the stories, some of these stories that he's brought to life, you know, it's well worth your time and your $12.
Right. Taylor Hackford has one of those. If you look at the ones he produced, the ones, even if he just EP'd them, you can tell at one point he was attached to direct and they just kind of pivoted and to do something else, because the things that he has either EP'd or actually flat out produced are things that fall very much in line with what he does as a director.
Right.
Shut up. Fucking alarm. Oh my gosh, I just stopped you.
I think he may have produced Robert Wise's last movie too, which is kind of a remake of West Side Story called Rooftops with Jason Gedrick, which is on Tubi and on Freevee.
Well, why wouldn't it be?
And on Peacock.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of a hip hop version of West Side Story.
Yeah. I remember this. I remember that VHS cover. Like,
yeah, no, of course you do.
If you look at the one they have IMDb, they didn't have like a real photo. It's literally somebody unfolded the poster and took a picture.
It's great. I love it.
That's so cool. They should do the cover of the book, of the DVD like that.
I feel like that was a Vestron video release back in the day.
Yeah. Rooftops is on all the free services, Crackle, Freevee, Peacock. It says if you have the Peacock with the subscription, which makes me laugh, Plex, Roku, and Tubi. So all the
dude, did you ever think in a million years we would ever mention Rooftops on anything?
No, actually, you know what? There is something that we've been talking about doing for a while. Eventually we're going to do it because we almost did it and we're not going to reveal what it is because it'd be something new to the show, but he would definitely be,
would have probably talked about it when we get around to it. Yes.
And we're still going to do it because we really wanted to do it, because it's been something we talked about since we sat for coffee long before we ever recorded our test episode. There's lots of love for Daisy Gedrick on this show, and we don't do it a lot because I feel like sometimes we're just holding it back for that thing.
Right. Anyway. We'll get to it soon.
Jason's great, and he's I remember Rooftops well. And honestly, though, if you had asked me a year, I would have thought it was closer to 86, 87, because it's just...
Right.
It's all in that same bubble where we're just coming out of our teenage years or out of our high school years, I should say, and we're like, it's all the same bubble, right? I definitely would have thought it was earlier than this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was maybe... I mean, it was released in 89, but it definitely feels like, 87, 88, probably. Yeah. Who knows? But whatever. It is free on Tubi or Freevee. Like we just said, you just ran off all the places. It is. I think it's Robert Wise's last movie. I would have to fact check that, but it seems like it was near the end. And if you know who Robert Wise is. So, he's directed Star Trek, the motion picture.
So his last movie was 11 years later.
Oh, geez. Okay.
A Storm in Summer.
Yeah. See, I mean, well, there you go.
Yeah. Peter Falk, Andrew McCarthy.
This is just one of those movies until I just looked, I guarantee you, I had no idea Robert Wise had directed Rooftops. I remember the movie. I remember the box, saw it. Probably didn't know who Robert Wise was then or didn't even really think about it. But looking at the box and knowing what it's about and knowing what I know now, it's funny because it's West Side Story.
Right. Robert Wise is really big towards the end of his life of just doing like a movie like every 10 years. Cause that Star Trek, the motion picture was 79 and this was 89.
Yeah.
And Storm and Summer, which is based on a Rod Serling script, came out in 2000.
Right.
And it's just a reminder, everybody, Robert Wise also directed the original West Side Story, which is why him redoing it with Rooftops makes it's kind of fun.
Yeah. So. And also the original Haunting, which they remade with Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Andromeda Strain, Sand Pebbles.
Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Run Silent, Run Deep.
So the dude was amazing. He had his body of work is substantial.
Yeah, totally. Day of the Earth Stood Still. It just goes on and on and on. Robert Wise, ladies and gentlemen, 1914 to 2005.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Top notch.
Go see fucking Blood In, Blood Out.
Dude, I was say, if I wasn't already doing something on the 20th, I'd totally go. But people, how old are people going to be? Hell, Hackford's probably going to be lit himself. It's 420.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Shit. All right. So Friday, Melody and Joey and I went to Disneyland. We haven't been there in a while. Back in the day, we used to have passes and used to take Joey all the time. But Joe was out last week for spring break. And we want to do something fun with him. And with my days off, we're kind of limited. So I said, let's go do this. You want to do this? Kind of left it to him. He let him decide. Because, so we went. The last few times that we've gone, we weren't able to go on the Rise of the Resistance ride over in Star Wars Land. They used to have these virtual queues. And if you didn't get into one of them before the park opened, you weren't going to get on it. It was a plus because you didn't have to wait in line or anything, but it was also like you couldn't go on the fucking ride. At least if you stood in standby, you can get in. Hell, you can go to Vidiot's and be in standby and get in a movie if you want to.
That's right.
But no, not Disneyland. So this time around, they've totally changed it. It goes back to being the standard, you can do or get like a fast pass or what they call a lightning pass or whatever. I'm not giving you more money. I'm already giving you money. I'm not giving you more to cut lines. So it was like a 75 minute wait, not a big deal. I went into it saying I want the kid to have a good time. I'm not going to complain about shit, even though there was a lot to complain about. But there was one point where we get in line for Rise of the Resistance. We had a very large family in front of us, 10 to 12 people. I could never figure out the actual count, but it was at least 10. Every chance they got, if there was something to sit down on, they did. It was almost like they were attached at the hip. They all sat down at the same time. And it got to the point where he just kept making jokes about it. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Can you guys not stand up for like 5 seconds without fucking having to sit down? anyway, once there's a certain point, once you get inside the building, because it's all, you know, these winding lines are outside. We're sitting out, it's sitting inside the building, and you actually have seats there. Or it's just like this, you know, the fake made up brick. It's all, mm-hmm. it's all designed out to kind of emulate a cave cutout because it's the resistance, right? You all sure. know your Star Wars, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not kidding you. They sat down every fucking chance they could. Every chance they could. Almost like they were doing a bit. And I made a joke to Melody. My dad, I don't know about you, but I think these people been on this ride before. And they had, by the way, I have a picture. I'm posting it on Patreon. If you're listening to this right now and you're looking at it on the Patreon app, then you can look and see the photograph of them. I got them all sitting down. I don't have to blur any pictures, any faces out because they weren't really looking at us. And I snapped it candidly because I didn't want to make it obvious I was taking a picture of them. Anyway, so we get inside. And if you guys have been on the ride before, you know it's one of the newer rides that they're using those magnetic tracks underneath in the cars. So you're not really on a track per se. It's all controlled magnetically under the floor, which is amazing. They have two rides there now that are like that. The Mickey Mini Runaway Railroad over in Toontown. And then this one, the former is a newer one, but this one's pretty great. Anyway, so we're waiting. They separate you out and we ended up, that group split into two because you can only put four in a row. So five of them went to one car and five of them went to our car, even though they were in we split once we got closer to the front of the line. We split. Melody had to sit next to the young woman that was part of that group, and she literally spoiled everything before it happened. She kept, oh, this is the part where da, 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 and she kept just rattling it off as Melody having to have everything, the entire experience was ruined for her. And I said, you know why? It's because we should talk to them.
Yeah, time. That's why. It's what you get, dude. Jesus Christ. Karma.
But the ride is still so incredible that the only thing she didn't miss out on was the surprises. But with if you're in one car, you have one experience. And if you're in the car that the next to you, it's a different experience. It's like I said, oh, yeah. It's not on a track and it's not the same bullshit. You don't get on a roller coaster and everybody has the same experience. No, it's different. So next time we go, we're going to try to slide over to the left.
Remind me on another episode. Let me tell you my mission space story.
Oh, hey, so they apparently had talked about or even shut down Star Tours. Cause what this ride is like an updated version of Star Tours. And the fact that this is the new way that they're doing things. As Star Tours came out, that was the new way of creating new theme park attractions was motion controlled rides. And this has got everything. I mean, everything. It's so elaborate and beautifully executed. I had a friend who's been on it a dozen times. Fortunately, I mean, he didn't wait as long as we did because that's back when they had those virtual queues. So he didn't really wait for anything, but I'm like, who goes on a ride that much? But it's worth it. And we're definitely looking forward to it because we would definitely want to experience the other side of it next time because it's totally different. It's totally like I don't want to ruin anything. And don't look at it online because if you went online and typed in Rise of the Resistance on YouTube, there's probably thousands of videos that people have shot on the ride. Don't do that. Don't do yourself a disservice. If you think you're never going to go on it, then watch it. But it's a fucking fun time. But everybody's got great Disney stories. That's not a great Disney story. I mean, it's a funny Disney story, but I got some. But when you share your story later.
Oh, yeah, mine. Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. Well, there you go, man. There's a kickstart for you.
KS.
Boom, boom, boom. Number two for the month. With last week, we dropped Law Abiding Citizen. Hey, I realized that came up with a name. And a lot of times this seems to happen. We have a name right up front and then we change the name. You used to like ring the butler. And then this is something that hit me later as I was editing. Why didn't we just call us the butler did it?
Sure.
It seems so obvious. But
yeah, either one of them signed. Ring the butler's
pretty
good.
They're both pretty good.
You know, if this was Family Feud, you know, one would be number one and one would be number three. Who knows? Survey says.
If you haven't checked the Law Abiding Citizen, there it is for you to consume on all the platforms. Enjoy that stuff.
Good stuff. Get out there and see the eclipse. 11 o'clock.
Yeah, eclipses and shit.
If the world ends, goodbye.
You can hear REM clicking in the background. Isn't that kind of played out too?
What's that?
When you know, someone's got money, like, oh man, how much money do you think they throw at REM to put "It's the End of the World" in a song? And it's always like somebody rushing, running around, trying to get somewhere really fast in a movie. It's so played out. Don't do that anymore.
I don't even remember the last time I saw that thing in a movie. I feel like the last time I even heard that song in a movie was "Dream a Little Dream."
It was done recently, and just stop. Anyway, hey, if you want to follow the show on the socials, it's at Karate Pod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. If you want to follow Corey on Letterboxd, it's Corey_Culp, and on Instagram at Culper97. And if you want to support the show on Patreon and get those episodes early, you can do that at Patreon.com/KaratePod.
If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me at rockandroller33 on your Instagram, or you can follow me at T on Letterboxd. That's T, the letter, Letterboxd. Or you can follow me at therealjohnladd@bluesky.com. That's therealjohnladd@bluesky.com.
Is T a real thing?
Yeah, T is Jason Gedrick's character in Rooftops.
Oh.